The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, for all you self-righteous conservatives out there, just make sure you understand that Nancy Pelosi says passing the Build Back Better bill is a moral obligation. It's a moral obligation. And a bunch of her Democrat friends chimed in on as well. I thought this was kind of funny. There was one thing. Oh, here we go. I have long believed that our role as legislators is to advance in the respect for life and the dignity of every human being, says Connecticut representative and abortion supporter, Representative Rosa DeLauro. I'm like, really? You're a pro-abortion Democrat and a Catholic, and you're saying that you've got a big role in advancing the respect for life and the dignity of every human being. You won't do that in terms of actually killing them, but you will do it in terms of passing the Build Back Better, whatever we want to call it. I'll keep myself in check today. Welcome back. This is Steve Noble, of course. Great to be with you all today. We're going to talk about that. Congressman Mark Walker's back in the House. Mark, good to see you.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Always glad to be with you.
Good to be here and to have you here. And so we're going to pour through that with respect to something that the Republican Study Committee, you used to be the chairman of the Republican Study Committee.
Yeah, I was blessed to be the first, freshman ever in congressional history at the end of the term when the vote had to be elected by about 160 colleagues to chair the largest caucus in Congress, formerly chaired by Jim Jordan and Vice President Mike Pence. Yeah, it's the best caucus there because they actually have 8 or 9 full-time staff that do nothing but study policy and can break it down.
Yeah, so you get a lot of facts and figures out of there and things that we need to be paying attention to. So I've got a big list that came out of the Republican Study Committee of what's in this monster of a bill. Once again, like Nancy said in the past, we'll find out what's in it once we pass it. Let's just get it passed first, yada yada. But we'll go through some details of that with Congressman Mark Walker today. By the way, Congressman's running for Senate, U.S. Senate here in North Carolina, and his website is always walker4nc.com. That's the number 4, walker4nc.com. How's that going?
You know what's going pretty well. I think we're up to about 60,000 miles across the state.
Wow.
We just had a wonderful event in Charlotte. Coach Tony Dungy.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
We became his first ever Senate endorsement.
Wow. You
know, he was telling me how NBC is trying to counsel him some as far as how much he brings up his faith, even on this, you know, the Sunday Night in America where the Hall of Fame coach does a lot of his work. So yeah, it was great to have him. We continue to build, and we're excited about where we're headed.
And Con, what's your path as we move towards? Well, we were talking about this before we went on the air. Talking about the primary coming up in March, maybe, asterisk,
right. Yeah. Yes.
Because there's a lot going on. But you know, you mentioned the importance of the evangelical community. So what's kind of the path forward, do you think?
We're out speaking or preaching nearly every Sunday morning, sometimes 2 or 3 times on a Sunday, as we have earlier this month. It's through evangelicals and grassroots. We're just authentic, trying to tell you the message that this is more about spiritual warfare than it is politics. After 6 years serving up there, you don't have to peel back the layers anymore. Now the evil is in your face trying to stop us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And of course, our mutual friend Dan Forrest, that's exactly how he got there in the first place. He traveled all over the state. He's a regular person that loves the Lord. And he really connected with people outside the faith community.
Yeah.
And you guys are cut from the same cloth.
Get away from the talking points and just speak from your heart.
Yeah.
And with our record, you know, even things like fiscal. I'm the last member of Congress to get a balanced budget amendment to the floor vote, for a floor vote. So those things, we had the record. We don't have the financial backing from these D.C. special interest groups or even my own. You know, my dad's a pastor. Kelly and I, my wife, were 2 preacher's kids.
Yeah.
But God is continuing to open the door just like he has in times past.
Yeah, which is awesome. Well, let's talk about another mutual friend of ours. We're going to go through a bunch of stuff today.
All right.
With Congressman Walker. We're going to talk. We'll get back into the Republican Study Committee and go through that and a bunch of the details in the Build Back Better, which, don't worry, everybody, it's only like down to $1.9 trillion now or something like that. So it's just another credit card. Don't worry about it. We'll just take out another one. Our mutual friend Mark Robinson. So this kind of blew up recently. He was speaking at a pastor's event, and his direct quote was, "There's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And of course, he's talking about the sexualization of children, even right. down into elementary school. And boy, he's getting raked over the coals for it.
Yeah, yeah. And we came out swinging for him. I was a little disappointed. I won't name names, but I did mention, as far as the other two opponents that we have, that kind of left Mark hanging. If we're going to win some of the cultural battles, and you are saying, hey, I'm a conservative evangelical Republican, yeah. get in the fight.
Yeah.
Because this is – it's one thing if we're offended. It's another thing when it's the hearts and souls and the minds of our children. And for you not to be willing to get out there and go to bat for him, I mean, that was – it was a muscle instinct reflect for us
yeah.
to get out there and immediately talk about this. Of course, the left, their whole goal is to silence you by intimidation. So we've got to make sure that we're not only backing Mark Robinson up, but we're leading the charge on these issues.
Yeah, and that's something that's so critical. Why do you have to put your finger up, lick your finger and put it up in the air and try to figure out which way the political wind is blowing? And are you afraid of being canceled, whether you're a member of Congress or a former governor, whoever you are? And that's just backing down. That's fear is the driving factor there. And calculations, I'm like, no, I'm tired of that. That's politics as usual. That's why before I'd always say, would I vote for somebody that's not a Christian? Yes, but I would prefer to have somebody that's got the Holy Spirit in them and knows what they're talking about, because you have to have that. We were talking about this before we went on yep. the air, and we'll get back to all this stuff. But when you went up to D.C. and you served up there for 3 terms, 6 years as a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, there's really no way to stand your ground up there without faith and without the Holy Spirit, is there?
No, and I think, you know, just like everybody else, I was in my early or mid-40s. I'm frustrated that Republicans don't go up there and stand for what they promised. What I realize that if your foundation is built just in your politics, man, those turbulent winds will blow you all over the place. That's the only way you survive is you just kind of go along to get along, as we've heard. But if it's grounded in your faith, see, that's your compass. And whether it's politics or any aspect of life, if you're basing it on things outside your faith, eventually you will sink.
Yeah.
But if you're able to stay on course with your faith, that's what allows you to persevere and even really have some accomplishments in a unique manner.
Yeah, and that's the challenge that I see up there all the time. And that's why I asked you before we went on the air, you know, did you go up there with your eyes wide open? You said they were really open within, 60 to 90 days. You see just how corrupt it is.
You really do. But I would tell you, there's a lot of nominal Christianity in the Republican Party.
Oh, sure.
The swamp is as deep in the Republican Party as it is the Democrat. But I will tell you, as the co-chair of the prayer caucus, there are about 15 or 20 men or women that when they fly in on those Monday afternoons, after that first vote, about 6:30, they gather in room 219. So if you're watching the president give the State of the Union, to his left, there's the cloakroom. Right behind that room is called room 219. There are literally 15 to 20 men and women who walk with the Lord. They're looking for God's direction each and every week.
Yeah, and praise the Lord, and we need to be praying for people like them, as well as everybody else that's serving up there. Whether you like them or not, that's one of the great challenges of learning how to pray for those in authority over you, which is a commandment, not a suggestion, by the way, is that you introduce in your own heart and your own mind the reality of spiritual warfare. This is way more about the spirit than it is about the flesh. We're talking to Congressman Mark Walker, who's running for U.S. Senate here in the great state of North Carolina. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. I kind of figured, knowing she's a New Yorker, just watching her on Fox. This is going to be a little outside the box for Faith and Freedom.
No color.
I think the food at Prime Barbecue is the only thing that's flavorful.
No, you may just smack you on the backside.
Yeah, so she's just a trip. Here we go. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Congressman Mark Walker is here in the studio today with me, as he has been many times in the past, and we'll continue. This is an open door. You do know that, right?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to think I've made that pretty obvious by this point. Also running for U.S. Senate, so if you want to be a part of Mark's campaign, go to walker4nc.com. That's walker4nc.com. How can we help you, and how can we pray for you? Then we'll dive back into the issues.
Well, you're looking for discernment. Anytime you're in this political climate and what's projected to be the most expensive U.S. Senate race, you're it's a street brawl.
Yep.
You never want to get to the place where you lose your testimony or your effectiveness. And I'm one that's always been driven about how far can we take individualism and ultimately our faith in places and new communities that simply have been blocked at it for a generation. So how do you do that but also remain the warrior that I think of Nehemiah. We talked about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they're building something. Now, they'll protect it, right?
That's right.
For the generations following, according to the scriptures. So trying to make sure your walk with the Lord is close enough that you're able to discern each and every day.
Yeah, that's one of the things, and we'll move on from this, but one of the things I really preach about Mark Robinson, the lieutenant governor here in North Carolina, is that whether you like what he says or not, as a Christian, the fact that he's so open with his faith and he always starts every speech by thanking his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if God's going to give you a public platform, you better use it for his glory. You're not going to do it perfectly, but you better use it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a moment, but there's biblical history. Look at Joseph, what he went through before God raised him up at the right time. And that's those, you never know how long those moments last, so you want to make sure you make the most of it.
That's right. And just as a reminder, Mark alluded to this earlier, there's three people right now running that are going to be in this primary for U.S. Senate. Only one of them came out in Mark's defense openly and proudly, and it wasn't the other two. It was the guy sitting across from me in the studio today. So just remember that. Okay, speaking about speaking out openly, let's talk about the Attorney General. I'm sure you saw this. That somebody texted it to me right when it happened. So I talked about it on the show that day. The Attorney General sends a letter to the FBI, essentially using words like threatening, intimidation, harassment of school officials, teachers, and so on. It's talking, that's veiled for concerned parents showing up at school board meetings.
Yes.
Right? So what was your read on that when that happened? And then I want to talk specifically about Loudoun County and Virginia, because I think what we see happening there is happening all over the country.
And I think those two things are connected.
Yes, they are.
Well, yeah, sometime, every now and then these left-wing radicals will say out loud what they're thinking. And I'm surprised that they went that far, that they would threaten the Department of Justice. You know, between the DOJ and IRS, as far as you can't take them on as an individual because of the amount of resources and legal prowess that you would need. But to go as far as threatening parents who are just concerned, we got an A-plus act to the floor. I led it to work with Heritage Foundation to get it there. And unfortunately, we only had 191 votes of 239 Republicans that would have not stripped of funding, but would have turned all the power over to local school boards and parents when, in regards to their children's education. To think that's a problem for these bureaucrats is absolutely insane. Exactly.
It is insane. So now I was told in the past that Merrick Garland should be sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court, but he just showed his colors. He was perfectly willing to use the FBI and the Department of Justice to threaten people like you and me, essentially, because we're the types of people that are showing up at school board meetings. There's no other word for it except tyrannical. Yeah. That's all that is.
Unless you're asking the left. They call that moderate now.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to check my language. Okay, so there was that. Then you got Loudoun County. Okay, now you got the Loudoun County, which has been in
horrible.
The press a lot. And parents showing up, and they're ticked off about a lot of things, as they should be. That's the type of anger that I like to see that should be there, especially when we're talking about our children. And so their school board meetings have had national attention. Then it just came out. Two girls, different schools, were sexually assaulted. One of them, I think she was 14 or 15, two counts of forcible sodomy against the boy, who is described as gender fluid. That happened in the girls' bathroom. That happened on May 28th this year. And in August, Loudoun County passed their rather crazy gender bill, their transgender policies, which allowed a boy that identifies to go into the girls' bathroom, which, by the way, this is exactly what Mark Robinson was talking about when he's talking about teaching this kind of filth. He wasn't attacking individuals that are in this camp. He was talking about teaching this type of stuff to third and fourth graders, which is filth and should not be allowed at all. But this is all kind of connected, isn't it?
It really is. It's the dumbing down of the Judeo-Christian principles. You know, the Saul Alinsky approach, the end justifies the means. They hate what we believe for, and ultimately they hate you and me. Now, we're not to return that.
Right.
We stay on the issues, of course. But what we're facing right now, this is pure evil. To confuse children, and listen, this young man needs to be held accountable to walk in. From what I understood, he put on a skirt. They didn't stop him, walked in, and did horrible things without getting to the graphic nature of it. And then the fact the school board reacted the way they did, kind of like, we'll just keep it swept under the rug till we get our agenda passed.
Right. And then the dad gets ticked off at a meeting, and they,
imagine that.
Everybody goes ballistic, like he's the bad guy.
Yeah, the dad's upset that his 14-year-old has been sexually assaulted multiple times in the bathroom over their policy. So for whatever reason, the dude's having a problem with it. Yes, I would be outraged as well. I hope every dad would be.
Before I figured out that you were coming to town and we had a chance to do the show today, I haven't done this topic in a while. I used to do it pretty often, where I would do a call-in show and ask people, is it time to abandon the public school system? Now, we're a homeschool family. We've homeschooled for 17 years. I know people go, no, we got to be salt and light. And I always follow that up with, all right, tell me how many people your 8-year-old has led to Christ since they've been in school. Your kid can't. Most kids can't be salt and light. Parents aren't in there, but we are showing up to school board meetings, which I've been a big fan of and have done that in the past, even though we were homeschooled, because whether my kids are in that school system or not, is irrelevant to me as a Christian. Number one, as a constitutionalist, you're spending my money. But even more importantly is the fact that I love my neighbor as myself. But I'm getting to the point now where I think this public school system, we see stuff like this with Loudoun County and what Mark Robinson was talking about and the things that have been discovered that are here in North Carolina schools. I think I'm getting to the point where I would say it's dereliction of duty. You need to find a way and pray a way to get out of the public school system. I think it's that bad.
It is completely toxic, and people can make an argument, well, you know, how about high school or just get them out of there in the elementary years. But even the high school, the situation that we were just talking about, exposing them to that level, and that's what the left hates. They hate parental choice. But, of course, that's what Ron DeSantis won on in Florida,
right,
is giving the authority to even minority communities to be able to pick which school they wanted to send their children to. But homeschool, I think back to my mom and dad. My dad and mom sacrificed so much to make sure that I would never spend a single day in a public school, and I will always be grateful, but because that humanistic secularism worldview never became part of my thinking process and allowed the critical thinking skills to take over when it comes to the foundation principles of this country.
Yeah, and there's that. That's that slow marination of what's going on there. It's marinating. From kindergarten through 12th grade, I figured this out years ago. And I remind people this all the time. Okay, let's say you're a Gold Star Christian family. So your little kids, they go to kindergarten, they go to Sunday school, they go to the church service, they go to the youth group Sunday night, they come back Wednesday night. Okay, 4 hours a week, kindergarten through 12th grade, that's 2,400 hours. You're a Gold Star Christian family. If you go to public school, kindergarten through 12th grade, that's 16,000 hours of butts in the seats.
Yes.
Okay, same period of time, kindergarten through 12th grade, popular media, culture, iPad, iPhone, computers, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. It's another 16,000 hours. So you got 32,000 hours of largely godless input versus 2,400 hours in the church. And I don't think we're sober-minded about that reality.
I don't think so. At the same time, I will say God bless the Christian teachers who are in a world over there that's completely pagan and having to watch their back from everything they're doing and saying as well.
Yeah, so we need to find out which one of our folks are in there and support them. And I think if you're going to send your kids in there, then you better start showing up at the school board too. You cannot just turn your kids over to the pagan system, even though there's some Christians in there, but the vast majority of them are not. We have to be much more aggressive and talk about the fact that this is spiritual, which is what Congressman Mark Walker is talking about. More than anything else, it's spiritual. Everything else flows out of that. We're going to pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here with Congressman Mark Walker running for a federal Senate, okay, the big Senate for the great state of North Carolina. And hashtag pray for Joe. I like that. That's a good, we all need to, that's by the way, Joe Manchin. And we're going to get into this as we look at this quote unquote Build Back Better, which by the way, you should all be becoming good students of the Great Reset. Now, 5 years ago, do you find yourself today, Mark, talking about things legitimately and seriously that 5 years ago you would have written off as just conspiracy crazy stuff?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Even what my dad used to preach on. I mean, just you would think, Dad, that come on, that's over over the top. But yes. But here's the shift in the last 5 years. 5 years ago, it was like sneak it under the table in the back door.
Yeah.
Now it's in your face, try and stop us, because the left has all these different entities that are carrying them, whether it's corporations, whether it's big tech, social media, you name it. So now they're emboldened by that and think that they can steamroll. And that's why we do have to have some fight pushing back.
Well, they get in an echo chamber and they actually assume that most people agree with them, even though they don't. But because big tech is only really presenting you with one side of
Correct.
The argument,
yes.
You're like winning all the time. Build Back Better. Well, hey, look, we're winning. We're always winning these conversations.
Well, that, and they've been indoctrinated since they were a child, so they think that is their worldview, right?
Exactly right. Okay, so there's the story. Then we'll get into the details of what's in this monstrous bill. Pelosi and the Democrats say passing Build Back Better is a moral obligation at an interfaith event. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats frame the passing of President Biden's Build Back Better agenda as being a moral obligation at an interfaith event on Capitol Hill Wednesday. Pelosi, flanked by members of Congress and faith community leaders, said provisions, then $3.5 trillion reconciliation spending bill that addresses climate change, blah, 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 were crucial for bettering future generations. Those are the ones that we don't kill, by the way. Mm-hmm. We have a moral obligation to our children, she said, to pass the plan in a responsible way. Then Representative Rosa DeLauro, a pro-abortion Democrat, described her Catholic faith as promoting the common good and said the federal government has a moral purpose and a moral responsibility to provide for the common good. I have long believed, this is a quote, that our role as legislators is to advance the respect for life. This is a pro-abortion Catholic. To advance the respect for life and the dignity of every human being. the Connecticut representative said. Representative Terry Sewell, Democrat, Alabama, also described passing the bill as a moral imperative. First question, then we'll dive into, I'll throw some specifics at you. Why are they even using moral language with this?
Steve, it's because it's their religion.
When
you take God out of something, you create a vacuum.
Yes.
So the reason that such a fervor and a hatred for what we stand for is because they're as passionate as people in countries would be about their religion, because this has replaced God in many of their lives, this passionate. And go back to Saul Alinsky, the end justifies the means. So they believe they're being the moral high ground here.
Right. Well, it's kind of like a jihad.
Exactly.
In the end, it's better for everybody. That's the problem. You suppress the truth, you replace it with a lie. So who's your savior? God's not your savior. Jesus, the exclusivity of Christ. We can't go there. We're your savior. The government's the savior. I think that's the cancel culture, which is just replacing the gospel. So you're a sinner because you don't believe our worldview. Mm-hmm. You have to be punished. That's cancellation. That's damnation. If you come back around, though, then you can have salvation. You just start trumpeting our points. It's their version of the gospel.
It really is. And that's why the more I looked into this in my 6 years of Congress, I realized these people really believe this stuff, because it is this skewed vision of being religious about environmentalism, about pro-abortion stuff. This is something that they're willing to fight for.
Yeah.
To even a fervor and level that many of us in our communities are not.
Yeah, and we should be challenged by that and to a certain extent learn from that. Okay, let me just throw some specifics at you and get your reaction to this.
All right.
Okay, this is from the Republican Study Committee, of which Mark used to be the head of that. Perpetuates labor shortage, continues welfare benefits without work requirements for able-bodied adults without dependents at a time when there are 10.1 million job openings, more openings than there are people looking for work. What is that?
I think it's the most racist policy there is. Even though when we try to push, we found a niche. If you're an able-bodied adult aged 18 to 59 with no dependents, we simply ask 20 hours from you. Now, it didn't have to be work. It could be furthering education. Mm-hmm. It could be volunteering. But we were wanting to help people get on an on-ramp to discover ultimately how God had designed them.
Yeah, be productive.
How wonderful would that? No, that was racist, is what we were told. So let's keep people oppressed. Let's keep people down and dependent, which is the ultimate motive for these people.
Yeah, that's the motive, because if we take care of you, then we get your votes in exchange and we keep to keep our power.
Because you're relying on us.
Exactly right. Here's another one. Democrats stuffed $8 billion into the bill to commission a cabal of federally funded climate police. I love this one. Called the Civilian Climate Corps. Probably brown shirts, who will conduct progressive activism on taxpayers' dime. A civilian climate corps?
Yeah, that's strictly to be able to give more authority to the federal government to come in and say whatever it might be that you're violating this, so we can take your means. We saw the IRS now checking down to $600.
Right.
We're hoping that gets up. But yeah, that's an authority move.
Requires funding for school construction be used largely on enrollment diversity and Green New Deal agenda items. By the way, this is when we all talk about public schools should be local control, and you think that it is. This is how you implement federal policy on a local level. You tie everything to the money.
Yeah, because 90% of your schools are funded by the state level. So the strategy is how does the bureaucracies on the federal level get more of a shoe hold in this?
Jesus, just keeps getting worse. I have a lot more highlighted things here. Okay. Pushes Green New Deal in our universities. This is a beautiful one. And they've been, listen, the progressives figured this out 100 years ago, that we're going to go up to if we want to poison the entire Mississippi River Valley, we're going to start at the headwaters, which is education. Then education takes you into the arts and eventually into politics. You control everything, which they do.
It's what Woodrow Wilson figured out. More importantly, or more, I guess, frightening, it's what communist leaders figured out. They couldn't take on America military-wise,
no.
So change the education system, do it bottom-up, and that's what they've
been bottom-up, which is why a lot of us don't you might not recognize your own children, even though they grew up in your own home. Democrats include a $10 billion, quote, environmental justice higher education slush fund to indoctrinate college students in advanced Green New Deal policies. $10 billion for environmental justice?
Yeah, at some point you just say, you know, what's going on here is the amount of money that's spending, because they look at billions of dollars now like you and I would look at pennies.
Right, exactly. I found this in between the seats in my car. This is an interesting one. Hurts small and in-home daycares, requires pre-K staff to have a college degree. What? Why is the federal government having anything to say about who a pre-K kindergartner or whatever hires? What is that?
It's all about putting their people into a place of authority for your children, no matter how young they are. So they want to get them started early on this leftist doctrine.
So we want people with a college degree teaching kindergartners, because if they went through the college, then whether they know it or not, they've ingested our stuff.
Exactly. Chances are, if you look at the amount, what is it, 7% of all college professors hold any kind of
conservative. Right.
I'm not talking about right where you and I are.
Oh,
just any kind of perspective.
Any kind of conservative perspective. Oh, you can hear the hiss of this. This is brilliant.
It's the strategy.
I got to give them a lot of props here. This is devilishly brilliant.
But this has been in play for a few decades now. This is just trying to make it law.
Here we go. Illegal immigrants will be eligible to take advantage of Democrats' new free college entitlement. That's on page 92. As well as eligible for additional student aid, page 147, and the enhanced child tax credit, page 1,946.
This is the biggest travesty of all, because you want to talk about moral high ground. Last 2 years I spent as the ranking member on intelligence and counterterrorism, which means I had to be at the Rio Grande Valley, monitor some of this.
Jeez.
The intel that I saw, what happened to these children coming across a place where the drug cartels control the entire southern border, the amount of child trafficking, I'll leave it at that. And here's the thing, Steve. This administration has the same intelligence that I ever saw, right? But for them to give them the welcome sign to come on for the political gain is an abomination, and I hope they will stand accountable.
Oh, my goodness.
It.
Well, since you brought it up, border arrests hit highest level since 1986's amnesty bill. U.S. authorities detained. That doesn't count the people that got through undetained.
Right.
More than 1.7 million migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border during the 2021 fiscal year, which ended in September. 1.7 million. CBP's, the Border Patrol down there, Rio Grande Valley sector came in with the most arrests. 549,000 Border Patrol apprehensions in the Rio Grande Valley, while the Del Rio sector had 259,000 apprehensions. That's over 12 months. That's not even tenable.
No, it's not. And it's fundamentally changing the very soul and foundation of our country. Listen, we celebrate the fact that America has 25% more foreign-born citizens than any country in the world. We celebrate that we take in 1 million illegal immigrants that raise their right hand and swear an oath to the Constitution. We're proud of those things.
Absolutely.
But for us to continue to be the country that sent more missionaries to bring hope and healing than any country, is the longest-lasting republic in the history of the world, we have to be a sovereign nation, or we will not be able to continue to be the first country that shows up at an international disaster.
Yeah, so we want to bring in, you know, 1 million or 2 million illegal people a year, and in 20 years we're going to be so broke they're going to be hosed too.
But
all about power.
It is. And they're willing to do this. They're willing that a child at 7 or 8 years old would be assaulted by a drug cartel if it means somehow that they can keep their power. That burns me to my very soul. Yet they know the facts.
Yeah, they know the facts. That is the most disgusting part of this, that we bait the trap. Okay, so there go all these people coming up. We got Haitians coming up from South America, yada, yada, yada. And all these kids are being turned into just chew toys for the devil and the sex traffickers and the cartels. And we're the ones baiting that trap by saying, hey, we're going to have an open border policy. Wink, wink. And they come up, and yet they try to claim the moral high ground, but they're really using kids to advance their own political agenda. It is that insidious.
It is, and the amount of debt they have to pay back to these traffickers lasts long after they're still here in the United States as
well.
Jeez,
unbelievable. All right, so that we've hardly touched this list. That we are on like number point number eight out of 42. Believe me, we're not going to go through all of them, because our next senator will have a heart attack right here on the air, and we have no interest in that, and I don't want one either, but we'll pick up there and talk some more about this. We'll bring you some truth saturated with the gospel. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We need a few more Bruce Lees up in Washington, D.C. That's why my good friend Mark Walker is here. And by the way, the fact that this is a former congressman, Mark Walker, hopefully our next U.S. senator from the great state of North Carolina, none of that matters as much to me as the fact that we're brothers in Christ.
Amen.
None of it.
That's the eternal thing.
The eternal thing. And all it took is one meeting, and we're friends forever. Sorry. That's just, you're just going to have to deal with that.
I'm okay with it. So, some church members, I think we're good.
Yeah, got it. All right, cool. All right, so we're going back through. The Republican Study Committee kind of pulled the quote-unquote Build Back Better, which Nancy Pelosi says and a bunch of others say is a moral imperative for America to drive ourselves into the ground and use illegal immigrant children to do it. But some more points here. Then we're going to talk specifically about what Mark really wants to accomplish as the next U.S. senator for the great state of North Carolina. Includes legislative hull for Biden's vaccine mandate. Okay, this is a good one. increases the OSHA penalties on businesses that fail to implement the mandate. This is the vaccine mandate. Up to $700,000 per violation, and includes $2.6 billion in funding for the Department of Labor to increase enforcement of these penalties. And right now, this is just a threat.
Yes.
Nothing's in place, so it's just playing a game. But that, who can withstand that? But Glenn Beck was talking about that this morning, saying, okay, I've got like 110 employees. If they actually came after him, of course they will, because it's Glenn Beck.
Yes.
He'd be out of business in a day.
Yeah. Or not just somebody like Glenn Beck, but what about the diner down the street
that
doesn't require his servers to wear masks or get vaccinated, all the different things that are out there. That's the problem with this. But ultimately, you draw that line back to control. More control for the bureaucracy where they get to make all the rules.
I love this one. Pushes Democrats' wasteful and confusing school lunch agenda. $643 million for, among other things, quote, procuring culturally appropriate foods, unquote.
Yeah, I didn't know you can't have Mexican food on the wrong day now, or how many vegetables. It's absolutely
don't
insane.
You dare suggest Taco Tuesday.
No, exactly.
Because that would mean obviously you're a racist.
No question. Yes. And that's how sick some of this stuff is.
One more, then we'll switch to what you want to do in the Senate, which a lot of this is the same thing. Further, Democrats' social justice agenda includes, quote unquote, equity initiatives throughout the bill. And in one instance, Democrats inserted equity language into a title which should have been focusing on the maintenance of the United States cybersecurity efforts. Everything's about equity, except it isn't.
Completely opposite of Psalms 139, where it talks about each child is fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew you when you were in your mother's womb. That means he's got a specific purpose and plan for your life. And to dumb down the arrival of your accomplishments of what you could accomplish for the Lord is a travesty.
Yeah, it's a travesty. Okay, so you mentioned on the break China, which is, you would say, one of your biggest concerns in being a U.S. senator.
Yeah, I think there's three things that come to my mind. One is the pushback against the battle of abortion. America is now the seventh worst, most egregious abortion laws. You can't find a country in Europe that's as bad as we are.
Jeez.
South America. You now, even in that bill, that we didn't have time to get to it, you've got partial birth abortion or right up to the moment of birth. This is how insane it's gotten. So that's something we've got to continue to fight. We never can let up on
that's
that.
That's right.
And number two, we address this a little bit as far as how our country is changing by not securing our borders and making a sovereign nation. But those are both horrible things. The most immediate threat I think we have is China and their growth that's been funded a lot by American dollars, right? If you look at their buildup in the South China Sea, somewhere between 270 and 280 warships, right? We don't know even the capability there. The reunification of Taiwan, the threats over there. But I went on the Tucker Carlson, I think it was 2019, as the position on the counterterrorism position that I had. I was doing a deep dive on the hypersonic missile technology. We had just come up with some new fighter jets, and they were picking up things, you know, they thought maybe UAPs. So the more I deep dive, I wrote a letter to the Secretary of the Navy, Spencer, at the time, telling us, you know, we want more information on this. What is the problem here? Because we now believe that China has been doing some testing. The Financial Times reported this on a hypersonic missile that can travel Mach 5. Now, what is that? It's anywhere from 4,000 to 20,000 miles
crazy,
an hour, which means you couldn't stop it under the defense missile system. So that's where it's headed. Now, the problem? You got five Bidens who've won the take of millions of dollars.
Geez.
They saw this coming and bought the guys off a long time ago, which is borderline treasonous behavior, right? So this is something that I feel like in running for U.S. Senate that we've got to beat the drum on this every single day.
Yeah, and I don't know that people beyond the price of things at Walmart really understand just how much of a threat China is.
Yeah, and they've played the long game with us. The discipline. They're not worried about woke culture over in China right now.
And that's
where I feel like the dumbing down of our society, the woke culture that we're living in, we are putting ourselves and allowing China to fast track to becoming the world superpower. People say, well, does it really matter who's the world superpower? Only if it doesn't matter that China puts people in concentration camps.
Right.
And limits how many children you can have. I mean, this is crazy to think these guys could be the number one superpower.
Well, up on the Hill in D.C., where you actually have intelligence briefings and you get this information, do you find that what's the Democrat reaction? When they're on some of these same committees, they're looking at the same information you are.
They do, and they have the same reaction as we do. But when they have to go public, they have to toe the line if they want to get reelected.
Now, what's behind that?
Well, it's because part of the culture of the left is not to really reveal how dangerous this world is. It's all the happy get along, you know, as we move forward, which allows them to push more of their social justice agenda than really take a step back. Because if you look at Afghanistan, you look at China, you look at all these countries, they have no social justice agenda. You get out of line, you get whacked, right?
That's right.
And that's where the difference is. And that's where I feel like in the 21st century, that's the battle.
What do you think is going to happen next November? Because we got a razor-thin margin for Nancy Pelosi in the House, as you know. Well, and then the Senate's right on the border, too.
Look, the sad part of it is what's being done to America. But as I travel throughout the state, there's an awakening that's happening. Moms and dads who simply didn't want to get involved in this, they just wanted to raise their family, go to church and work hard. But they're getting involved more and more. Now, because of Joe Biden, he's falling like a rock, the administration. I think it's going to be a huge backlash. These suburban moms are going to come back and vote Republican. And when you've got a race razor thin like you do in Virginia between McAuliffe and Youngkin, going on.
Yeah, something's going on. And most people aren't even aware of that. If Terry McAuliffe doesn't win that, that's like – let's go back to the shot heard around the world.
I mean, it's going to be earth-shattering, and what it's going to do, you're going to see it, here's another telltale sign. When you start seeing these Democratic legislators start to retire, they know what's coming, and they're getting ready to retire.
Right, because why stay?
Exactly. And get beat.
Yeah, why stay and get beat? But I think it's a tremendous opportunity, and I think as a result of it, I think they're going to be no holds barred between now and November next year.
No, it's going to be saddle up and go. But I think that the House is going to be an incredible upswing when it comes to Republican turnover. I think the same thing will happen in the Senate, preparing for what ultimately will happen in the 2024 as far as a presidential candidate.
I read an interesting article last week. I can't remember where it was, where the author's point was he actually thinks Joe Biden is the president of the United States in terms of actually controlling a lot of what's going on. The narrative is, you know, he's kind of old, he's kind of crazy, and there's other people, whoever that is, running the White House. Is it Susan Rice? Is it Barack Obama? Who is it? But it was an interesting article. It made me pause to think, you know, this is Joe Biden. You think this is the regular guy who's been a moderate? He's never been a moderate. And on foreign policy, he's been wrong for four decades.
Yeah, well, he's not been really right on much of anything.
Right.
But now he is greatly influenced by Susan Rice and others.
Yeah.
The only decision that I know of that he made 100% was on the evacuation of Afghanistan because it was such an urgent situation. He was brought the information, made the decision, even though he was warned by Foreign Affairs Committee, Republicans and Democrats, intel, boots on the ground, you name it. He overrode all of them and made the decision that cost American lives.
Let's turn a little into the family. So on the church side, do you think there's too many of us, you mentioned this earlier, this is the conservative way of life, okay? I'm going to just do my thing. Mark, you do your thing. The liberal over there, you do your thing. And we don't do groupthink very well. We don't look at trying to move the entire country. The progressives have done that. They played a long game. We just want to be left alone and live our little lives and maybe go to Disney every 5 years. But I think a lot of us have abandoned the field. We know we're supposed to love our neighbor. You can get lectured on that for a vaccine mandate or a mask. But I think when you don't pay a lot of attention to the political realm in our context in the United States of America, you really don't give a rip about your neighbor. These things are affecting 330 million of your neighbors. And if you don't get engaged with that, to me, you're just screaming, I don't really care.
I could not agree more with that. And maybe decades ago, that could have been a position that you've held, but they've infringed so much on our individual rights that for you to look the other way, I think it's a disservice to your country. I know that's strong, but we needed everybody pushing back.
And let's finish on this, but the spiritual side of all of this, the spiritual side drives everything.
Yes.
That's the engine. That's what's happening. That's what's beneath the surface. That's what you can't see. But everything else is a manifestation of that. And I think we really need to understand that.
There's no question. It's in some of these churches whose pastors tell me, well, this isn't really our battle. Well, if you're fighting evil, please tell me who the heck's battling.
Right.
Supposed to be fighting this battle, right?
Right. Yeah. No, well, why do we sit on the side? What do you say when you speak in churches?
We talk about some of the spiritual warfare that we're going on. We don't talk about the political or the campaign side of things, but we talk about what we're called to do. We're to die to ourselves. Deny ourselves. We're to take up a cross and follow Jesus. What that looks for is different than for me. But if we're not at least having that as a base in our culture, then we're going to miss the mark as far as what Christ is calling us to do.
So what would you put on the table if you're going to have a list? Okay, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're born again. You're full of the Holy Spirit. You happen to live by God's grace in the United States of America. Here's what's expected of you as an ambassador, which is 24/7, 7 days a week, by the way, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ in the current context. Here's what you must be doing regarding the political arena if you're going to call yourself a faithful Christian?
I think the very first thing you do is look at what your children are being taught in public education. That's changed our country over the last generation. Get them out of there, do something. That and abortion, I think, is the two things you got to focus on.
Yeah, and you better be praying for those in authority over you. You have to do that.
Yes, we're called to do so.
It's our biggest club in the bag, and it's the one we leave in there all the time.
Pray for them, and if they don't, pray for God to remove them as well.
And show up at school board meetings, and make sure you're registered to vote.
Oh, that's base.
And then vote. Mark Walker, God bless you, brother. Thank you for being in here.
Thank you, my friend.
And we're both going tonight to see Judge Jeanine. Is it Jeanine, right? Pirro?
Yes.
From Fox News? So that'll be a blast. A prime barbecue, by the way, if you like Texas barbecue. Actually, North Carolina barbecue, I think, is just a sin. There, I said it. I'm a Texan. I was born in Texas. Brisket or nothing. Brisket or bust. So all you guys that eat like pulled pork and vinegar sauce.
And for the first time today, comment.
Yes, just repent. That's all you need to do. But go to Prime Barbecue if you're in the Triangle area. Go see my buddy Christopher Prieto out in Knightdale. Mark, God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.